Gloss, my guest today, is the current proprietor of the Brattle Bookshop. The shop was founded in 1825 and has been in the hands of the Gloss family since 1949. Ken started working for his dad, George, when he was five, and it's rumored that his first words as a baby was, "book." Ken has been at the shop full-time since 1973. Housed in the heart of downtown Boston, the Brattle Bookshop has over 250,000 books, maps, prints, postcards, and ephemera in all subjects. It's one of the largest antiquarian bookshops in the country. In addition to its general used and out-of-print stock, the shop also maintains an inventory of collectibles, first editions, and fine bindings in its rare book room. Ken is a past president of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America's New England chapter. He appraises books and libraries for Harvard, Boston University, Boston College, the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy, the FBI, and others. And he appears as a guest appraiser on the Antiques Roadshow on PBS. He's written numerous articles on books, book collecting, and selling. Welcome, Ken. It's a real treat to have you with us on the Book Report today.
Well, I'm happy to be talking with you, and at least I can talk about older books this time as opposed to the new ones.
All right. Well, we all have boxes of books in our attic. Before carting them out the door, what should we look for? What are the telltale signs that a book might be rare and valuable?
Well, there's a lot of things. Well, first of all, most of the books you have in the attic probably aren't terribly valuable. So the bestsellers, the novels that you've read, the authors that are well known, most of them come out in large quantities, and, you know, they're good books, but because they're good books, they sold huge quantities. Usually some of the things to look for, at least in the literature, would be the author's first book, you know, before they were well known, because before they were well known, people didn't save them. The publishers put out relatively small numbers, and so that's one thing. Also, when you get to really old books, I mean, things getting back 100 to 300 years or more, is the book contemporary to what it's about? If you have a book in the American Revolution and it's in the 1880s or 1890s, it might be over 100 years old, but it's well over 100 years after the fact. So sort of look for, is it about something that's contemporary to the era? And then, of course, is it signed by someone famous? And I could go on and on and on with all the little nuances that make the difference between a book that might be a couple of dollars and one that might be into the thousands of dollars.
Is there a database of valuable books somewhere we could check online?
Well, they're online. There are databases, the things, there's Amazon, there's a site called Book Finder, there's ABE Books, there's a whole load of them. The problem with those sites is they're unedited. In other words, anyone can put anything on at any price, at any request, any description, and nobody checks it. So it's sort of, I liken it to, it's a great tool if you know what you're doing when you start. And then, of course, there are people like myself. There's an organization called the Antiquarian Bookmen's Association of America. If you Google it, it will turn up. And there are book dealers that have been in business for years. And one of the things that you tend to find about people, and most book dealers are like this, that love what they do, ask them a question. It's not a problem getting an answer. It's getting them to stop answering. And so a lot of times, you know, I'd say call a reputable person, myself, others in the area, ask, and, you know, more often than not, you'll at least get steered in the right direction or get a direct answer.
Well, that brings up this question. If a person doesn't live in a large metro area, how can they find out the worth of a book? Can they take photographs and send it to you, for example?
Well, nowadays, yes, absolutely. Matter of fact, a lot of times what I tell people now, they can send photographs, they can send lists, they can call. A lot of it I can do on the phone. They can old-fashioned mail. But, you know, nowadays, specific books, we get emails all the time with photographs of books, signatures. Is it real? Is it what it's supposed to be? Just the other day, we had someone who had a rare, rare book signed by Abraham Lincoln. The only problem was it was signed by a forger.
Oh.
And we could even tell them which forger of Abraham Lincoln did it. And other times, we've had people, you know, send photographs, speaking of Lincoln, that were worth $50,000, $100,000. So That's one way. The other thing that people sometimes do is if you have a large library of books and you can see the spines, a lot of times a couple of photos, you can have 50, 100 books in a photo, and at least a good book dealer, myself and others, can look at that and say, you know, the library you have really isn't going to be that valuable. Or, from what we're seeing, we really need to go through it book by book, and it's a good way to start the conversation.
I've often wondered about colored plates inside an older book. Should you ever take them out and have them appraised separately?
Well, that's a question that I can stand on one side of the question, argue one way, then jump to the other side of the line, argue it the other way, and make a very convincing argument. You know, when people go to old print shops and they buy Audubon prints, for instance, every one of those came out of a book. Most of the old maps that you buy, they all came out of books. My general feeling with that is if you have a book that's somewhat damaged, has beautiful, beautiful either 19th, 20th, 18th century plates, and you can get the plates out of them, great. On the other hand, if you have a book that is so rare that there might only be one or two copies around, it's a real tragedy to break it up. But, you know, something like Audubon, a set of Audubon, an average set can cost $50,000, $100,000 on the low end. A plate can cost $200,000, $300,000, $500,000. So it's a way of owning an original that actually makes more people able to buy it. So, but again, it depends on what the book is, who the illustrator is, what the pictures are, how rare it is, and all of those things go into should it be broken up. And part of it, in the large numbers, is what you enjoy and what you have fun with and what you like. I mean, they're your items, and books are meant to be enjoyed.
Give us a glimpse into the rare book room at your shop.
You can get, you know, books signed by Jefferson, Lincoln, Einstein. You can get old maps going back to the 17, 1800s. You can get the first editions of Dickens and Thoreau. And, you know, one of the things that's a lot of fun about a used and rare bookstore is you can come in and maybe you started out looking for one subject, but the book next to it actually catches your interest and can lead you in a whole different direction. So it's sort of the serendipity of looking.
Share some of your biggest finds or one of your biggest finds on the Antiques Roadshow.
There was a lady, and I found this one fascinating. It was in Nebraska. And her grandmother and grandfather had built the only Frank Lloyd Wright house in Nebraska. And she, in the early 1900s, acted as the general contractor. So they had all of the drawings, his original drawings. They had all of the correspondence, all of the detailing of materials. And one thing I loved about it, you knew that it was early in his career because his grandmother, and of course the grandmother being a general contractor at that time, was a really tough position, bossing around a lot of, you know, men and so on. One of the things that was great, though, she wrote to Frank Lloyd Wright, said, "Your initial drawings are awful. I hate them. Redo them." And he redid them. Now, later in his career, he would have told her, you know, he would have told her, to, you know, no way, you know, who are you? But he redid them. And the one of the things that's great about the Antiques Roadshow, it's not only that material, which was up into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, but a lot of it is the story that goes with it, and the guest was excited, and so that made it a lot of fun.
Are there any rare paperbacks, or are there only hardcover books that have great value?
Oh, no. Well, of course, then you get into the definition of paperbacks. I mean, back in 1827, there was a little paperback pamphlet called Tamerlane by a Bostonian. Bostonian did it was Edgar Allan Poe. It was his first book. It was terrible. It was an awful, awful. It was a long poem. It's terrible. Most of them got destroyed. If you got a copy of that now, it'd be close to $1 million. But it's just paper covered. But I think what you're really talking about is probably what we consider the paperbacks. And people collect the like ones from the 40s, 50s, for those gory covers, you know, a woman's dead on the ground with a revealing dress, maybe a bloody knife over her. And people love collecting those graphically. Also, especially in the mysteries and science fiction, a lot of the great authors you know, that was the first edition of their work, and they can go into the hundreds of dollars occasionally.
Okay, so you're standing in line in a bookstore, and you're waiting to have your book signed by a contemporary famous author. I've heard it's better not to have a book inscribed to you personally, that this could diminish the value down the line.
Well, that comes a lot from sports card collecting and sports collectibles, and that they definitely don't. You know, if you have a baseball card of Ted Williams and it's signed to Ken, you know, maybe something I got, and, you know, they don't like it if the name's on it, because if someone else's name, they don't like it. But in books, my feeling is, first of all, by the time the people are doing tours, it's probably a little later in their career. They're probably large numbers of the books. But authors are famous because they write. And my feeling is the more you can get them to write, the better. Also, 99% of them aren't going to be valuable. So it should be more a memory for you. In other words, you can look back 10 years later and I met, you know, Alex or, you know, Paul Thoreau. I met, you know, this great person, this writer that I love. And it can bring back that memory. And if they write and add Miami Beach 2013, or if they add a stanza of a poem or so on, they're known for writing. I like to get them to write the more the better. And the few that do turn out valuable, usually the more they write, the higher the price.
All right. Well, this is great information. Tell us again how a reader out in the hinterlands can reach you with a question.
Well, we have a website. It's brattlebookshop.com. And we have an 800 number. It's 800-447-9595.
Speaking with you has been quite the treasure hunt today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
All righty. Bye.